show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they...
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Team.
Wow, right now they're having a little conference, but we're going to have our own little, I guess, podcast conference, a.k.a. the Urban Sports Scene's on tap to start right now. I'm here with Wally O and with my man, Will T.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm good, man. I'm good. We're short one. Ray Gigi's not with us, but he's tired.
The Urban Sports Scene after dark.
Yes, it is. He's tired, and we decided to give him a break. We sipping on tea like rock stars do. Anyway, big fight. Let's just jump into it because we got a lot of things to do. We try to hit up
our tradition.
Exactly, our tradition. And plus, we're trying to hit up Jasper's after this. If you don't know, that's in Largo. That's one of our usual hubs. That's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
Hubs. Last Saturday on HBO, Sergio Martinez defeated Barker to extend his knockout streak because I think he knocked him out in the 10th round.
Darren Barker, yep.
Yep. What did you think of the fight?
Entertaining fight. Darren Barker, a lot of people didn't really give him a shot to really beat Sergio Martinez, but he was actually a much liver underdog than a lot of people thought. Fairly entertaining fight. Sergio Martinez, to me, is, I would say, people aren't going to agree with me, but I'm going to say it anyway. He's the number two pound-for-pound boxer in boxing right now.
So he's first?
Floyd Mayweather.
So he's above Pacquiao?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
In my opinion. This is just my opinion.
Of course, I understand. Everybody.
This is just my opinion. Just for the simple fact that he doesn't handpick his opponents like Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, but, you know, I haven't seen Sergio Martinez, to me, fight anybody of value, you know, other than Barker. I mean, Barker was impressive, but I want to see him fight somebody else.
I mean, a lot of people want to see, and that's the only way he's going to get the recognition that he deserves. He has to fight a big name. There is some talk of him potentially fighting the winner of Miguel Cotto and Antonio Margarito, but anybody who really knows boxing knows that Bob Arum isn't going to sacrifice his two cash cows against Sergio Martinez because Sergio Martinez will make both of those guys look very stupid.
You know what? I think Cotto can give Sergio Martinez some dough.
Absolutely not. He doesn't have the speed to hang with Sergio Martinez.
I think Cotto can get him. I don't know why. I have faith in Miguel Cotto. I think Cotto, you know, Cotto is, to me, is still a very viable boxer in the game.
He's a viable attraction. He's a viable boxer, but he won't beat superstar elite talent. Not at this point in his career.
Don't think so? We'll see.
Absolutely not.
We'll see. But, you already pretty much answered my other question, so we'll just skip that one. Lamont Pearson is going to fight Amir Khan in D.C.
Yes, sir.
Where,
At the convention center. The new convention, well, it's not really new, but the convention center downtown. Lamont Pearson and Amir Khan, December 10th of 2011. It's slated to be, actually, they're talking about Gary Russell Jr. is going to box on the undercard.
Oh, local. That,
yeah,
local
so it's going to be a local, it's going to have a local flavor to it. And we all know Lamont Peterson's from the D.C. area. Amir Khan, he's developing into
a star.
A star.
He is.
So it should be an interesting fight. It'll be pretty, I'm not going to even lie and say it's going to be an interesting fight. It's going to be one-sided.
I'm hoping that Lamont Pearson, you know, brings his A-game. We saw Lamont Pearson fight. I believe he fought
Tim Bradley,
and he fought before, and then even after that, he fought
Victor Ortiz
and
to a draw.
So, he's a viable fighter. Hopefully, he can do something big. like Will said, both Pearson is local, and also Gary Russell is local. Mm-hmm. So, it's two big local guys in the area. I think Gary Russell Jr. went to Suitland.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so and we all seen him on HBO, and saw the hand speed. The hand speed is off the charts. Let's jump to basketball. Kobe Bryant is on the verge of playing Italy next season during the lockout. Your thoughts about
interesting.
That?
Interesting. It should be interesting. I can't really say I care one way or another. To be honest with you, I really don't get into the NBA until Christmas, that when they put those marquee games up. That's when I really started getting into NBA basketball. Like I said, if the lockout, that doesn't affect me one bit.
Real talk, the lockout won't impact any fans. We won't care about the NBA season. We have college basketball, so who cares? Why even put this on the outline? I'm geeking. Never mind. Capital season starts Saturday against the Hurricanes.
Why even put this on the outline?
Only because Ovechkin has to go back to Russia because a family member of his passed away.
Okay.
So he may not have him.
Okay.
But I just put it on the pregame just to put it there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Exactly.
Bro.
I got another hockey one right after this one,
too. Yeah, I know. I see.
Hey, Pittsburgh star Sidney Crosby will start the season on the IR.
It's been like 9 months since he's had a concussion. Am I correct?
Yeah, this is big.
It is big. If, you know, he's starting out, he missed the postseason last year and part of the regular season. Him starting out on IR, I don't know if this is just a precaution or he's quite simply afraid to get hit again. So it's an interesting development. We'll see how his season progresses.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just imagine it. If you're not a hockey fan, just imagine it this way. The NBA losing LeBron James for 2 years, because that's the kind of hype that Sidney Crosby had before he came to hockey. And he got in hockey, he produced, he won a Stanley Cup, he won a championship. But just imagine LeBron James missing 2 seasons, how big a hit that would be for the NBA. And that's how you had to look at it.
Huge.
Anyway, we talked about a phenom, Sidney Crosby. But I want to talk about a team that played phenomenally average, the Washington Redskins, after the commercial break.
Urban Sports Scene.
What should I do? Should I admit that I've made mistakes? Should I remind you that I've done this before?
Should I give you a history lesson?
What should I do? Should I tell you how much fun we had? So, this went well. Should I really believe I ruined my legacy? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Should I have my tattoo removed? Want to see my shiny new shoes? Should I just sell shoes? Shiny new shoes? Or should I tell you I am not a role model? Hi, Chuck. Seriously, what should I do? Should I tell you I'm a championship chaser? Did it for the money? Rings? Should I be who you want me to be? Should I accept my role as a villain? Maybe I should just disappear. Should I stop listening to my friends? They're my friends. Should I try acting?
You just gotta deal with the heat, man. Be patient. After a while, the temperature drops and everything is free and easy.
Should I be writing this down? Should I make you laugh?
Or should I read you a soulful poem? Shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. But still, like air, I'll rise.
Or should we just clear the deck and start over? Coming through here! What should I do? Should I be who you want me to be?
To listen to the show, visit www.waleo.podbean.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
I'm excited. My team is 3-1. But before we get into like recapping this 3-1 start, the Redskins won. They beat the Rams. 17-10 on Sunday. Your thoughts of the game?
Didn't watch it. I'm just being honest with you. I didn't watch it. I caught parts of it. From my understanding, from the parts that I did watch, you guys looked kind of sluggish against the Rams. They looked like there were plenty of opportunities for you guys to really put your foot on their throat. That's the only thing that concerns me. You know, I know you guys have gotten off to a fast start and everyone in D.C. is happy, real nostalgic around here. But to me, the sign of a great team is when you have the opportunity to totally squash your opponent, you put your foot on their throat like New England did to you guys a couple years ago here at home, 52-0.
I want you to remember that when we get to another segment about having a lead and not stepping on your throat and letting the team come back and win. But like what I enjoyed about the game, it wasn't the offense because honestly, you have a point. Our offense was sluggish.
Right.
Other than Ryan Terrain coming out like a beast. Other than Ryan Terrain coming out like a beast, our offense didn't look good, to be totally honest with you. Our pass protection was pretty good. I'm gonna lie, our pass protection was good. Our run blocking was good.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Terrain took advantage of it. What I was annoyed with in the game was obviously, you know, everybody's talking about Rex Grossman. His play was terrible. But for me as a Redskin fan, I don't expect Rex to look good. Like, I accept Rex Grossman. And I think a lot of fans, you know, they trying to make him into something he's not, or they're waiting for him to be bad or whatever. I'm going to be real with you. Beck is horrible, all right? Grossman, though we know what he is, put him back and see how bad he is. But I accept Rex Grossman. I'm not looking for him to be Matt Schaub, because mm-hmm. we compare him to Houston, Texas. I'm not looking for him to be Matt Schaub. I'm looking for him to make decent decisions. Though he made a lot of dumb decisions in that game, we still won. I'm happy that we're 3-1, okay? A couple years ago, every year we played St. Louis, we struggled with St. Louis. And most of the times, honestly, they beat us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take this victory. You can't tell me if we usually we let teams back in and back in games, they beat us. This time they didn't. So obviously we've improved.
Yeah, kudos to I will say this, your defense through the first 4 weeks has looked good. That pass rush off the end with Kerrigan and Arakpo. You got good stuff developing there.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm happy with in that game. I'm happy with how Arakpo played. He played well, 2.5 sacks. Honestly, with the player that I looked who I saw that was everywhere, he's not going to show up in the stat line of having like a whole rack of sacks or anything or tackles. It's Rocky McIntosh. Rocky McIntosh was everywhere in that game.
Hey, he's playing out of his mind.
He sure is. And I think playing beside a professional like London Fletcher, who is playing the inside linebacker position, and he can learn from him. Both of them are playing inside linebacker in a 3-4. He can learn from London. He's getting better at it. So Rocky McIntosh looked real good. And like I said, Ryan Terrain looked real good. And interesting, you know, he took carries basically away from, I'll be the starter, Hightower, who didn't, to me, look good.
Yeah, we were talking about this off air. To me, I don't know if it's because this is the first time that Hightower's really been a featured back. But to me, he looks like this last week, he looks like he's tired, like he's wearing down. I don't know if he has any injuries. I don't know if he has something personal going on, but he just doesn't look. He looks like he's wearing down.
And that's I mean, we both see that his play is lacking. You know, for me, I just look at it as if he's not hitting the holes correctly. I think there's a lot of cutback lanes that he's just not hitting. They're there. It's like he's just I understand the Shanahan system is one cut and go. But if you looked at what Ryan Terrain did, if you look at what Helu has done, Helu has hit the hole. Wherever the hole is, he's hitting the hole, you know. He's not missing a cutback lane. If he has to make a one cut and go, he's hitting that one cut. Same with Ryan Terrain did on Sunday. He did the same thing. Hightower hasn't done that, and I think that Shanahan saw it, and that's why they benched him. But it goes to this question. Since the performance of Terrain, should he start after the bye?
I would have to say yeah, just because if you look at the history of Mike Shanahan has always historically gone with the hot running back. He's always had a plethora of running backs. He's always had good depth at the running back position. So he's always been able to choose which guy's the right guy for the right moment. So I think you do start to rain after this performance against the Rams.
Yeah, and on Twitter, Run Porter's Run says, absolutely. I know he can't block or pick blitzes up like Hightower, but as a runner, as runners, he and Helu are leaps and bounds better than Hightower. I agree. I think as runners, they are better than Hightower at the moment. I won't even argue that. But I would still lean towards the side of Hightower, give him a chance. It's going to be after a bye. You might have some truth to what you're saying that he might be worn out and tired. It's a bye coming. He can rest up and take advantage of the situation and maybe, you know, produce and hopefully produce. So maybe we'll have Hightower back to that Hightower preseason. I just think maybe he's not as hungry. I think Hightower isn't as hungry. When he came into preseason, he had something to prove. It wasn't his job. He had to take the job. It wasn't his job. It wasn't given to him. So he took it. Now, you know, when he played well in preseason, he was given the starting job. I think that hunger left. And I think if you saw how Ryan Terrain ran, he ran hungry. This is a guy who basically was in a cage and saying, like, you ain't playing. And all of a sudden, they unleashed the beast, and he went crazy. That's how I looked at it. And I don't even like Ryan Terrain for real, but I'm just keeping it real. That's how he looked to me.
Hey, hey, you won't hear any arguments here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that, man. That's what dab me up right there. Let's not talk about my brother. You know what I'm saying? My American brother. Anyway, I've heard a lot in terms of talk radio. Certain fans are really disappointed at the way the Redskins won the game, like we were just talking about earlier. But they're more upset about that and not realizing they were 3-1. What do you think? Do you think the fans should be happy that they're 3-1 rather than dwell on the outcome of the performance of the St. Louis Rams game?
You have to ask me this question.
Listen, sir.
As Redskins fans, you are used to rooting for a perennial loser. Your team is 3-1 now. I understand you're saying, oh, we're 3-1. Let's set the bar a little higher. Why wasn't our performance as good as the prior ones against the Rams? Listen, you're the Redskins. You're 3-1 after 4 games. Just take it.
Yeah, I totally agree. We're 3-1. We should be happy. And like I told many Redskin fans and even people who don't like the Redskins, this season is all about progression.
Yeah.
All right. It's not about going to winning the Super Bowl. Obviously, all teams want to win the Super Bowl. Wants to go to the playoffs. Things of that sort. It's about progression first.
Baby steps.
Like I totally agree with you. We're 3-1, first place in the division. You know, there's other teams last, but we're 3-1, first place in the division. It is what it is. You know what I mean? But I think you pretty much harped on a little bit. But if the first quarter season's over, what about this team has surprised you, impressed you, or what individual has surprised you?
Has impressed me. Your pass rush has definitely impressed me. One, Rocky McIntosh, he's impressed me. He definitely has. On the offensive line, I think the addition of Chris Chester has helped solidify your run game. And also Rex Grossman, he hasn't looked nearly as bad as I thought he would.
Yeah. For me, like you said, the defense has definitely impressed me. If you would have told me before preseason during the offseason, if this Redskins defense would be fifth at the moment in total defense, I'd slap you silly. Really, I would slap you silly. Even, you know, I was pissed that we were going to let Albert Hainsworth go, honestly. I was pissed that we let Carlos Rogers go. You know what I mean? Though I think he would be a better cornerback on this team. But
absolutely.
But I was pissed, you know. And even at the time, I thought we were going to let Rocky go. You know, and they re-signed him. So I was thinking, okay, this defense is going to be pretty terrible. Like if last season defense was that bad, this season defense is going to be just as bad. And you know, just bringing in an influx of young guys and you know hunger is very important. I forgot that. I forgot how big hunger can actually be. And this defense has definitely played with nothing but hunger. That and also I've been dogging online. Corey Leitensteiger and Will Montgomery have impressed me. I think they've played well on that line, which you're talking about, the offensive line, and mm-hmm. held things together. And also Josh Wilson is better than I thought. The Maryland kid. I think he's better than I actually thought. So
yeah, one more player, Fred Davis. He's made himself into potentially a Pro Bowl tight end this year.
Yeah, he sure has. The Redskins have surprised a lot of people like we have mentioned. But there's a team that has surprised us in a different way. Who? We'll mention it after the commercial break.
Urban Sports Scene.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge. When we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements. Along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can listen to us on the Apple Juice Radio Show on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple Juice. Apple Juice is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Vivian and Coach. I'm sorry I wasn't able to make the show last Sunday. Me or Will couldn't be able to make, I'm sorry. So we'll try to make it, Coach and Viv. And definitely, one of us should be there on Sunday.
Yeah.
Definitely. So we'll be able to talk some college football. It's always fun talking college football with you all. We have a ball. Yeah, you talk about. I'm sure you're gonna want to talk about it big time this week because Texas is playing Oklahoma. So mm-hmm. that's y'all thing down there. So Red River Rivalry.
Yep,
that's the name of it.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
It's like Skins Cowboys. But anyway,
get out of here.
On Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles, played the Niners of San Francisco, and they lost 24-23. Now, them losing is surprising alone, but how they lost is the biggest shocker in the world. But I'll let you just talk about that. Well, how did you feel about the game?
After a certain point, we were up 20-3, I think, middle of the third quarter. I was like, we got this game. We're going to close this one out. I had to step away because I had to do something. And then when I turned back, when I actually was in the car with the radio, they read the scores, and it said 49ers 24, Eagles 23. I was shocked. I was very shocked. I was shocked. Disappointed, yeah, but, you know, it happens. You know, it's just, hey, like I said, this thing is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Oh, before, all right. Let's piggyback. Let's go. Let's rewind a little bit. How did we get to this state? How did we get to this level for the Eagles? Like, how did it get to this point, well, to be 1-3, to be this team, this superpower team, honestly? And like I've told you before, this team is my pick to go to the Super Bowl. How did they get to this point? Because to me, like Sunday, wasn't Michael Vick's fault. Honestly, it wasn't the offense's fault. There were some questionable decision making by players and coaches. But it really, you know, this is a game that you should have won. This Niners team is a terrible offensive team.
Yeah, true. It's a couple of issues. Mm-hmm. One, with the additions we made in the offseason, with it being such a shortened offseason, they haven't had a chance to gel. Two, we have a new offensive line coach, so that's a new blocking scheme. Me personally, I don't feel we necessarily have the personnel intact for this type of blocking scheme, but it's just my opinion. Three, we have a new defensive line coach and a new defensive coordinator.
Who used to be offensive coordinator? Who has to be offensive line coach?
Juan Castillo. Do I believe he can do the job? Yes, I do believe that he can do the job. This is his first year. So he doesn't really have a sense of calling the game. Four, you make a huge acquisition in Nnamdi Asuah. So if you're going to invest that type of money, you should probably play a type of defense.
Based accustomed to.
Not necessarily custom, but to his strengths. Of course, have three of the, I'll say you have three of the 10 best out of the top 10. You have three out of the top 10 quarterback corners in the NFL.
I had to look at the list, but go ahead.
Yeah, no. Three out of the maybe. I'll definitely say that you have two of the top five cornerbacks in the NFL.
Top five?
Yeah.
Who's the two?
Nnamdi Asuah. And entering this season, Nnamdi Asuah and Asante Samuel.
No, Nnamdi's one.
One,
He's the best corner. I'm not going to carry Nnamdi. He's the best corner.
Okay, so you go Nnamdi, you go Revis, you go Champ Bailey, you go Charles Woodson, and you go Asante Samuel.
I don't go with Asante Samuels.
Who you go with?
I go with Asante Samuels. I give Joe Hayden better than Asante Samuels.
All right, that's another conversation for another time.
Yeah.
if you have that type of talent,
but I know your point.
You play a defense to their, you play to their strength. Nnamdi Asuah, he doesn't play. He's not a good zone.
He's a good man.
He's a great man. Great man cornerback. So you put him on one side of the field and you say, listen.
He's on the other side.
You lock this down. That's what they used to do with Deion.
Yeah, and zone the other side.
Yeah, you zone on the other side and you scheme off of that.
You're bringing some valid points.
But I will say the one nugget that has rendered his head during this terrible start. The emergence of LeSean McCoy is one of the better backs in the NFL.
As one of the better backs?
Yes, as one of the better backs in the NFL.
Okay, I like LeSean McCoy. But this is my problem with LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
When it's time to get those tough yards.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at the goal line.
He thinks he's Barry Sanders.
Yeah. Just too much dancing. You don't dance when you're trying to get a touchdown and a goal line, because there's not a lot of movements you can do.
Yeah, and the thing to me, what baffles me is, and they put him in at goal line, but he out-thunked himself this past week. Right. Ronnie Brown. Whenever you get into the red zone, you put Ronnie Brown in the game.
Yeah, for
let
real.
Him run. Yeah. The guys are tougher running, you know, between the
and
tackles.
This is my problem. And again, this is my problem. And this, I think, and this honestly has been the Eagles' problem for years now. Is when they get to third and goal from like the 2-yard line, the 1-yard line.
That's a mentality.
Yeah, it is a mentality. But you know what? You got Ronnie Brown now. You just mentioned it. Even though what he had a lapse. He had a lapse of judgment. He did. He had a lapse. You stack your line, full back here, hat on, man on man, go at it. You know what I mean? Ronnie Brown is a power runner.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Yeah. If he gets stopped, you know what you say? Okay, you stopped this once. Shame on you. We'll do it again. No trapping, no pulling.
Just straight up. Mano-y-mano.
Exactly. And that's my problem, I Andy Reid. And you would think that Andy Reid, being a former offensive line coach, would have that mentality, but he doesn't. And that's what amazes me.
But I will say all this. Out of all those things I said, every single one of them are fixable. So I still do believe we will win 10 or 11 games.
This is my problem. It's not fixable. It's not fixable.
Yes, it is.
No, this is what's not fixable. The linebacker core is not fixable. You're going to always have a problem stopping the run.
You can always scheme around it. If you have great corners, and you have a defensive line that can apply pressure.
And I understand what you're saying, but you're used to Jim Johnson. All right? Jim Johnson's not walking through that door. All right? Jim Johnson's not walking through that door. Okay?
Okay.
Your situation is screwed right now because your defensive coordinator isn't good. All right?
He's learning on the job. I'm not going to say he is. Okay. Good.
Who learned on the job? Who's horrible?
Who?
Jim Zorn was learning on the job, and he sucked.
Actually, he started you guys 6-2.
But he was
6-2.
Yeah, and
6-2. Look at his
track record. Look at his track record. I don't care how he started. The end result is he sucks. That's the end result. All right, I'm all about the end result. Show me the money.
But all I can say is it's only 4 games.
That's
so
true.
We can't say that Juan Castillo has to go.
No, no, I'm not.
It's only 4 games.
This team is built. This Eagles team is built on offense. They're going to be carried by their offense. It won't be carried by their defense. It's going to be a lot of pressure on Mike Vick. DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, who I do agree with you is one of the better backs other than the 10-yard line. It's one of the better backs. But other than that, and Macklin, cause I like Macklin. Macklin's good. Brett Celek has been forgotten to me, but those guys are going to have a lot of pressure on them to produce. Now, that defense needs to step up. I like what you said. I'm not going to lie to you. I do like what you said about what they should do with their defense with Nnamdi Asamoah, Cromartie, and Asante, they should have those guys. They should have Nnamdi manned up. And for all the people, and this is another thing, for all the people who have bad mouth of Nnamdi Asamoah, the bombs or the plays he's given up are fluke plays. These are plays where he doesn't turn around. They're not getting beat, burnt like D'Angelo Hall. That is uncorrectable with like D Hall did, but Nnamdi Asamoah is getting beat, not getting beat. He's still around his man. He just hasn't turned around. So for everybody who says, "Oh, Nnamdi's not playing up to his bill, or how much he's not playing up to how much he got paid," just look at the tape. Nnamdi's on his man. The quarterback decides to throw it up. Nnamdi didn't make a play. It happens. You know, that's what happens when you play on an island. That's what happens when you're a great corner. That situation occurs. But do you think the struggles for the Eagles season is attributed because of the signings? The big signing, something different than they usually do, where they like signing. They don't sign the big name players. They get players that work for their system.
No, I absolutely don't. I think it's more attributed to a shortened preseason and off season. Just because you don't like, if you bring in that number of guys, they have to be able to gel and mesh as a team. We haven't had that opportunity. We had what, 2 weeks of off season?
Really?
Yeah.
This is what you're going to use to really? That's the Washington Redskins. This year's Washington Redskins have a bunch of new players. They do have a bunch of new players.
But you don't have a new scheme.
We have a bunch of new players.
You don't have a new scheme.
But you're right.
We have a new scheme for our defensive line.
Your team
line.
Is built with veterans. They should learn. They should be able to learn. We have a bunch of young guys, rookies. All right, who have learned better.
So that
in this
means
game.
You don't have to erase old habits.
You know what? This is terrible. This
you
is
don't
terrible
have to erase old habits. Then this is like, with us, like, you have to erase
as
old
Eagles
habits.
Fan,
you have to build. You have to build.
As a fan, remember,
you have to destroy to
that,
build back
where
up.
Where is that Will T. non-biased dude that always tries
I
to come
am
at
non-biased.
Me? No, this
I
is
am not biased.
This is ridiculously biased.
It's not.
This team.
You asked me a question, and I'm giving you answers.
This is ridiculous.
You may not like the answer, but I'm giving you answers.
Let me tell you what's happening. I saw this in 2000. All right, with the Washington Redskins in 2000. All right,
here we go. All
right, we brought in a whole new team, a whole new personnel. But a whole new personnel. As a matter of fact, it might have been a whole different defensive coordinator. So they had to learn something on the fly. You know, we had a young LeVar, Deion Sanders, Chan Bailey. Deion wasn't used to playing his type of scheme with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we started off good, and we ended off bad.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So. It's similar. It's eerily similar.
No, I can't say it's eerily similar.
Why?
Because, first of all, you had the number 2 and number 3 overall picks coming out of that draft.
Yes, we did.
You had a Hall of Fame cornerback. A Hall of Fame.
Two. We had two Hall of Fame cornerbacks.
No, I'm saying as far as the
coming in. All right.
You had two, three. Actually, yeah, you had three Hall of Fame cornerbacks.
Three.
You have a all-world, all-Hall of Fame defensive end, Bruce Smith.
Okay, don't insult me.
Listen, the guy's the all-time sack. Right. He was, to a point, he was an all-time sack leader, right?
Don't insult me, but go ahead.
You have Mark Carrier, one of the best safeties to ever play. Yeah.
He was a very good safety.
He's a very good safety.
Very good safety.
Very good safety.
Very good safety.
You signed Jeff George, the guy who had...
Henshung.
Sorry. Listen. You can say what you want.
Oh, sorry, I slipped.
But Jeff George has more natural talent as a quarterback than Vince Young.
And Vince Young is more of a winner than Jeff George could ever be.
Absolutely.
So what's that mean?
I'll give you that.
You know what I mean? All I'm saying is that on this team, it's similar, regardless of the fact. It's similar.
There's some similarities, but they aren't similar.
All I'm saying is a team. They tried to buy a championship.
We didn't try to buy a championship.
Yes, you did.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you the difference between our team and your team.
Go ahead, explain.
Our team, after this year, except for Nnamdi Asawa, we can cut all the guys we brought in, and it won't affect our cap down the line.
But we will see if that happens. We always worked around the cap. Every year we sign
a big player. I'm not saying you don't work around the cap, but you mortgage your present. For the future.
Don't worry, it's gonna happen.
We don't mortgage the future.
You're trying. You work better.
We don't mortgage the future.
This team works better. It's a track record. They had Vic. They needed that. They need that much. This team works better when they get pieces for the puzzle, not try to overly upgrade their team on positions that they don't really need to upgrade on.
It's cool.
That's all I'm saying.
Listen, you're 3-1 now.
This is not a comparison.
Now.
I don't care about record. I'm not that kind of Redskins fan.
This is a marathon.
I'm not that kind of Redskins fan.
This is a marathon. All right. Holler at me 2 weeks from now.
All right. We will. And that game is going to be interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
You know what I mean? All I'm saying is that next time you want to that off season, hire get some O linemen. All right, get some linebackers.
Our O line.
Ask Vic. I don't think Vic thinks that for real.
No, it's the blocking scheme.
Hey, I don't think Vic likes that O line. But speaking, all right, if this season doesn't go the way you think it's going to go, should the Eagles consider firing Andy Reid?
Absolutely not. All the overzealous fans saying, "Oh, Andy Reid's got to go. It's 13 seasons. Yada yada yada. This, that, and the third." You got to take a pause. If you get rid of Andy Reid, who are you going to bring in that's an upgrade? There's really no one out there that's an upgrade. You could say Bill Cowher, the guy won one Super Bowl. It took him 15 years. You could say John Gruden, he won a Super Bowl
with Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy's players. And what else outside of that, what else has he done? Nothing. So there's no upgrade over Andy Reid. So you don't get rid of Andy Reid.
On Twitter, Tennis Netminder says, "How can you not fire this guy? My Niners beat him."
You don't own the Niners.
Next, and on Facebook, Ron Jr. says, "No, they need to fire the defensive coordinator." You know Ron Jr.
I knew of Ron Jr.
My man, Will T, man. You know what, Will? We've always had this debate, man. I like Andy Reid, so his dominance over the NFC East has been respectable, remarkable. Like I said, if only he knew how to coach third and one, or third and goal.
His two biggest drawbacks are his game management and short yardage.
That's it. Honestly, Andy Reid to me is a good coach. It's just for some strange reason, if it's third and one from the 1 yard line or third and inches or whatever. Whatever, his play calling isn't the best.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. Honestly, he's an excellent play caller. That's the thing that amazes me. He's an excellent play caller. But, what is this? The Redskins team. What the hell did I write here? This is not the right transition. I'm looking at my notes and it sucks. Jesus Christ. Here we go. It's regular, actually. When we get back, we'll discuss. Now, is that our predictions? That's wrong, too, right? No, it is right. When we get back, we'll discuss our predictions and fantasy football advice.
Urban Sports Team.
Besides being NBA champions, what do Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott share in common? Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you healthy moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. During their basketball careers, both Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott battled kidney disease and returned to the game after getting transplants. Although they share a unique story, there's nothing unique about kidney disease in our African-American community. We are disproportionately affected by kidney failure, and for some patients, kidney transplantation may be the best treatment option that allows them to live much like they did before their kidneys failed. But here's the problem. The number of organs donated by our community is low, which means it's hard to match kidney donors and recipients. To learn more about kidney donation, visit organdonor.gov or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more Healthy Moments.
I'm not afraid. Yeah. It's been a ride.
I'm a little premature. I'm sorry. We actually had to talk about the Cowboys losing to the Lions. And that was another comeback. The NFC East was giving a big comeback on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Quick question. First, how did that happen, man? You watch it? Any highlights?
Didn't watch any highlights. That's another game where they were down significantly headed into the third quarter. So
I want to say the score was 27-10.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Then when I heard the end, Detroit won.
I can give you pretty much what happened. 27-10. Romo throws an interception to Carpenter. Touchdown. That's one. That's 27-17. Romo throws another interception to Chris Houston. Touchdown. So I think it was 24-27, I think. Or it might have been the other way around. It might have been to give him 10 was that interception. Sorry, from Carpenter. And for the other one was because Calvin had two touchdowns.
Yeah.
So the other one was the Chris Houston was to make it 17.
Mm-hmm.
Then Romo's throwing picks left and right. He had three interceptions. All I want to know is I want to see what Rob Ryan has to say about Calvin Johnson now. And Chris Carter.
Yeah, Chris Carter came out and said that Calvin Johnson is the king of the NFL.
Oh, he apologized. He apologized.
I'm not going to say he apologized, but he said earlier today on, I think it was Mike and Mike, he said that Calvin Johnson is the king of the NFL.
Did he explain why he said what he said, though?
Because he did something that only Chris Carter did, which was catch two touchdowns in four games straight.
So did he explain why he even meant to put him in that top wide receiver?
He said it just because why he
didn't have him on that list.
Because he said he didn't feel he was playing up to his potential.
Oh, okay.
Which some people can say, you know, because you look at Calvin Johnson, 6'5", 200, yeah. Runs a 4.3. Like, he's supposed to dominate.
Well, you know,
over
what?
Any corner. That,
I'll tell you this much. To me, he does dominate.
He does dominate, but, okay, dominate consistently.
This is my thing. Like, Calvin Johnson, and we had this discussion like last year, and I said he was the best wide receiver in the game. Last year, I said.
Yeah, you said that.
Calvin Johnson, there is no, other than Andre Johnson, and I'll say, because Andre Johnson is very good. He's great. Not good, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, and Larry Fitzgerald, and Larry Fitzgerald to a certain extent, there's no cornerback, Nomni, Revis, that can check a Calvin Johnson one-on-one.
No.
Just because what he possesses, even if you're locked on him, and I mean you're on him, there's a jump ball. There's nothing you can really do. You're defenseless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't guard this man. If it's at the goal line, you like to hand the ball off to your running back. It's easy.
Yeah, fade.
A fade is a terrible percentage play, but he makes it look easy.
Absolutely.
And that's my thing. Calvin Johnson is amazing. Now, this is another question. This is going to the Cowboys. We got to hurry up. Tony Romo, like I just said, two interceptions called scores for Detroit to have.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a franchise quarterback? And at that, can he even lead this Cowboys team to a Super Bowl?
In my opinion, absolutely is. Absolutely is. Tony Romo's a if you look, I think there's this huge perception that Tony Romo is a choker. I'll say in some of his biggest moments, he's let down Cowboys fans. But I'll say this, if you look at it and just from looking at his whole body of work, he's the fourth rated quarterback of all time. The guy has
For the Cowboys?
No. Period. In the history of the NFL. Yeah.
Okay, wow.
The guy consistently puts Dallas in the position to win. Third, who else are you going to get if you're a if you're the Cowboys? Who what's a better option? A lot of people always say, "Oh, you need to fire, get rid of this." But unless you have a viable upgrade, do you stay with what you have?
Primetime Deion Sanders, former Cowboy great, really Atlanta Falcon great, but you know what I mean. Thanks to the Cowboys, should be looking at the draft. Should try to draft a quarterback, and you know, if Romo's there, okay, Romo's still there, and have that quarterback learn. And if Romo isn't, it continues to be turnover prone, have this quarterback here to take his spot.
Well, this is the thing with Romo. To me, Romo plays just like Brett Favre.
Not everybody's gonna say that. Mm-hmm.
No, like he's a gunslinger. Mm-hmm. Like you can't. You're happy. You overly joy, happy joy kumbaya whenever he throws one of those passes. In between two defenders, the wide receiver makes a play and catches it. So you can't be that upset when he does the same thing and it goes for a pick.
For me, I'm not a Romo fan. I'm not a Cowboy fan. But what you just said, this is what annoys me. When Romo makes those plays, Cowboy fans are acting like he's the best thing to sliced bread. But when he throws these interceptions and they cost games, then okay, he has to go. Make up your mind.
Yeah.
That's how to go. Make up your mind. If he's Romo, the franchise quarterback, then let him be Romo, the franchise quarterback. If he's Romo, the guy who annoys you and you want him out of Big D, then get him out of Big D. But don't flip flop. That's one thing about what I've learned about Romo for Cowboy fans. You flip flop too much.
Exactly.
You don't like Romo, don't like Romo. It's easy. Yep. Easier said than done. Easier said. Just do it that way. I did have a question about what's the best under 500 or below 500 team, but we're not
you
getting to that.
You already know who my answer is.
Yeah, we're not getting to that. It's like I said, we got to fast this. We got to get the show up, pace. Let's see. Last week, we had picks, and I was 1-3. Mm-hmm. Obviously, our NFL picks, if you all don't know. I was 1-3. You were 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Ray was 2-2.
Okay.
Okay. Detroit and Dallas. Me and you picked Detroit. Ray picked Dallas. Pittsburgh versus Houston. Me and you picked Pitt. Ray picked Houston. New England, Oakland. Me and you picked Oakland. Ray picked New England. And the Jets versus Baltimore. You picked Baltimore. And me and Ray picked the Jets.
Yeah.
So this week we got a couple new games. We have new games. First, we're going to start off with your team, the Eagles, versus Buffalo.
That's easy. Philly.
Why is that?
One, I think they've been able to spread the ball around via the pass game. I think that this is the week that Juan Castillo finally understands, listen, I have the best, or if not one of the best, cover corners in the NFL.
No, you have the best cover corner in the NFL.
I am going to lock him on Stevie Johnson, and I'm going to take away Stevie Johnson. I have another cornerback in Asante Samuel who knows how to read the quarterback eyes and read patterns and who can make plays on the ball. I am going to allow him to do that, and you know what? I also have a guy in Jason Babin who's a one-man wrecking machine on the defensive line. The guy brings pressure every play that he's in there. So I think for those reasons, along with Buffalo just doesn't have the defenders that can contain Vic in the pocket or outside the pocket, nor any of our weapons.
And that's it right there. It's not about defense for me or what's going on here in Buffalo. Buffalo's going to score points.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Jackson's going to have a hell of a game.
Yeah.
But just because of the pattern. Look at the Niners who couldn't run. Had Frank Gore had 47 yards his first game, 42 yards the second game, and against the Eagles he had 120 some yards in against the Eagles. So Jackson will be able to run, but what's going to happen is that I don't think Buffalo's going to match the offensive power that the Eagles are going to put out there. Buffalo's defense isn't that good. Other than the Cincinnati Bengals, who is a young team and that did beat them. Everybody else has scored decent points, and the Kansas City Chiefs, who can't score anyway.
Yeah.
Everybody else who could score has scored on them. The Raiders scored on them. The Patriots scored on them. This Phillies team, this Eagles team, is too potent offensively. They don't have an answer for Michael Vick, DeSean Jackson, Macklin, who I think will be hungry after what he did last week. I think look out for Macklin to have a big game. And LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
I'm seeing the Eagles win this game.
Cool.
All right. Ray also has the Eagles winning this game as well. So you're writing this down?
Mm-hmm.
All right, my man. Next game, we have the Jets versus New England. I'm going to pick shoot. Hate New England. My boy faced New England. He ain't play last week. He's hurt. Let's see how we're going to do this. You know what? I'm going to pick the Jets. I can't see. I think you're going to the Jets are going to the Jets are going to put Revis on Wes Welker and going to take him out. This is the game because I always say, like, Wes Welker, those little linebacker routes you run, Revis is shutting that down. You're not going to play. You're not going to have them routes. Linebackers ain't going to check you this time. Revis will shut you down. Wes Welker will be shut down. Force Tom Brady to go to somebody else. I don't think Hernandez will be there. So Gronkowski will probably still be a man of target. But I think the Jets will shut him down, and they'll put pressure on Tom Brady, which he doesn't like.
I'm going with New England for the simple fact that New England can outscore the Jets. The difference between prior years when the Jets beat New England was the Jets actually had a running game to shorten the game and keep Tom Brady off the field. Jets don't have that running game this year. Plus, they have a bunch of older wide receivers. Even though and I still don't think you can trust Sanchez to win a game for you. So, I'm going with New England.
Okay, it's cool. And Ray also has New England. Green Bay versus Atlanta. I wish Ray was here for this game, man. Atlanta, Green Bay. This is going to be a tough one, actually. But you know what? This is the revenge factor is too much in this game. I have Atlanta winning this game. I think you're going to see Julio Jones break out. I think this is what they brought Julio Jones for. Last year they couldn't, you know, Roddy White. They pretty much, you know, loaded on Roddy White. Now they have Julio Jones last week who had over 100 yards. So, and you know, to a certain extent, Julio Jones has almost looked better than Roddy White. So you're going to have Julio Jones, Roddy White, Gonzalez looks a little. He looks younger. And Michael Turner looks like they remember they have Michael Turner. So I'm gonna ride with Atlanta in this game.
I have to disagree with you, my brother. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Green Bay for the simple reason that this team is clicking on all cylinders: offense, defense, special teams. They can spread the ball around with their depth at wide receiver. They don't have really a lot of a running game, but that short passing game kind of compensates for it. And also on defense, they aren't at the level that they were at last year, but I do think that Don Capers schemes a way to take Julio Jones, to take Roddy White, not take him out, but restrict him a little bit, and then sends double coverage over towards Julio Jones.
Ooh, so you think Julio Jones will get most of the attention, not Roddy White?
And no, I think they'll put Charles Woodson on Roddy White to give him some trouble.
But you know, Charles Woodson, I love Charles Woodson. Don't get me wrong, that's my Michigan man. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't play the same position anymore. He's not like the cornerback. He's not that shutdown corner. He's the roamer now. More of a safety, to be honest with you.
Yeah, more of a safety, but I just think that Green Bay, schematically, they have what it takes to beat Atlanta.
That's cool. I like that. Chicago versus Detroit. This is a big game. Oh, I'm sorry. Ray had Atlanta. I don't even know why you asked me that. Ray's going to stick with Atlanta. I wish he was here really to like discuss this one. But Chicago versus Detroit. I'll let you go first.
I am going to go. I think Detroit's winning streak comes to an end this week. I have Chicago.
You're Chicago.
Chicago, Maine.
Chicago, Maine. Okay. Ray has Detroit. This is a hard one because I'm leaning both ways. You know what? I'm going to go with Chi-Town. Detroit had a good run. I think Detroit cover two is going to be a problem for us. Matthew Stafford. Megatron is still going to be Megatron, but this defense, the Chicago defense, is probably the Cowboy defense is pretty good. Chicago's D is up there. It's one of the best defense they've seen this season.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you're gonna have Brian Urlacher, probably still one of the best middle linebackers in the game. I said the cover two is gonna be good. I don't think they're gonna threaten them enough with the running game. You know, I like Java best. Not gonna threaten them enough in the running game. So I think Chicago's gonna play good. play well. And also look out for Roy Williams. He's going back to Detroit with Mike Martz to prove a point. You know that, you know, why you let me go to the Dallas. You know he wanted to leave or whatnot, but he's gonna try to prove a point. And Monday night on a big stage, look out for Roy Williams. Any upset games you thinking of or anything like that?
I couldn't think of anything that struck me as an upset this coming up the week. So
the one I have New Orleans versus Carolina. I think Cam Newton is going to take care of business. I think that's going to be – he's been close to some good teams. I think this is going to be the game where it's going to be over the top. Because even last year when they played New Orleans with at New Orleans, matter of fact, with Clawson, they were close. I think this team right now, and they just discovered that they had the D'Angelo Williams back. They, like, discovered for some strange reason they had a D'Angelo Williams, mm-hmm. but they forgot. They didn't know they have him again.
Uh-huh.
I think they'll use him, and I think they'll win this game. But let's go right into fantasy football. We always talk about some starters, sleepers, sitters. Well, so excuse me, let me say it correctly. So who you start, who you want to sit, and who's your sleepers?
All right. I'll let you start first.
Wow. Throw it right at me, right?
Yes, sir.
You the man now. That's what people do, man. When they're not prepared, they throw it right back to me.
Yeah, that's right.
Jerk, man. I'm gonna start Donovan McNabb versus the I believe he's playing against the Arizona Cardinals. If you look at it, the Cardinals are giving up big yards to Rex Grossman. Oh, I'm fine. Excuse me. Someone's texting me now. Sorry. Rex Grossman mm-hmm. and also Cam Newton. So Donovan McNabb is due. So to me, it's a must start. I know he's had a bad season. Supposedly had a very terrible has had a bad season. Look at the stats. It ain't that bad. But I think you'll have Donovan McNabb have a good game, and I think he'll play well, and it's probably his best game. I'm looking for a 300-yard passing game. With about, because at home, with about 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Well, I'm going to go with Ryan Matthews, running back from the San Diego Chargers. Over the past, he's superseded everybody's expectations thus far. Most people's expectations thus far in the season, you know, considering that Mike Tolbert was the starting back coming into the season. So I think Ryan Matthews threw on the ground and through the air. Was going to get people a lot of fantasy points this week.
Okay, we'll ride with that one. Ryan Matthews. And who is he even playing? Do you know? I hope he's playing this week. That's what I'm asking you. He's playing. I got Phillip Rivers. He's playing this week. I think he's playing because he's an easy team, too. Denver. They're playing against Denver.
Yeah, that's
at
why
Denver.
I picked him.
Man, you the man now. I'm going to say sit. Chris Johnson. I know he's popular. Everybody loves Chris Johnson. He's like one of
He had a breakout game.
Yeah, 100 yards finally.
100
yards. Yeah, I mean Johnson.
Last game.
He's probably on live fantasy football drafts. Was the number 2 player being drafted. I guess he's playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I know they gave up over 100 yards to Arian Foster, but they're on payback, and it's in Pittsburgh. I don't see Chris Johnson getting 100 yards. He's the Steelers.
I'm going to go another direction with sit. I'm going to say sit Wes Welker. Because you know why? He visits Revis Island this week. So for that reason, I say sit Wes Welker.
That's a good one, Will. Pretty much preached it. Thank you. And my sleeper, I mentioned him on the prior with the Detroit Lions, and the so I just saw Curtis Granderson make a hell of a catch in his Yankees Tigers series. But Roy Williams for Detroit Lions, like I said, he's gonna go back to Detroit. It's payback. Mike Martz is coming back too. So 2 former Detroit Lions. I can see Mike Martz designing some plays for Roy Williams to have a good game in Detroit.
I'm gonna go with his counterpart on the other team. Well, not really his counterpart. I'm going to go with Brandon Pettigrew. I think that because of the lack of the running game, they're really starting to emphasize getting the ball to Brandon Pettigrew. Whatever. In short yardage situations. And also against that cover two, that he's going to be opening up the scene for a lot of big plays. So that's my sleeper.
Well, enough with the NFL talking, fantasy football. I just mentioned Curtis Granderson making a hell of a catch in this Tigers-Yankees series. When we get back, we'll be talking about the MLB playoffs.
Go Yankees.
Nah, Urban Sports Scene.
Ages.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next It's the Big Thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah. I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry. What you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you're familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene, because you never know who's listening.
Yeah, we're here to get that guap.
Guap!
But before that, let me give y'all some Sports Crib info. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is hosted by West Coast Stiller Fan and Doc Hancock. It was a good show last week, man. West Coast Stiller Fan doing a great job. Keep it up. You holding it down since Jersey Mike Jr. has been gone, man. So keep it up, man. But like I said, we're going to go right into the baseball playoffs. First series, the Rays just were eliminated to this afternoon, matter of fact, by the Texas Rangers. I had a whole bunch of notes for it. I was hoping the Rays would win. But how did the Rangers, in your opinion, knock off the Rays?
With hitting. On Beltran, the guy had 3 home runs during the series. So
3 home runs in a game, in this one game.
Yeah, excuse me, in one game. So, big bats, that's what won it for them. I don't think the Rays should hold their head down.
Great comeback.
Great comeback just to make it into the postseason. It's a very young team. It's a very competitive team. So, you know, if they aren't back next year, just the way they restock their farm system, they'll be back contending for another World Series titles another 2 or 3 years.
One thing about the Rays is I feel like they might get stunt just a little because BJ Upton may not be a Ray next year. But I think this series changed. With Shields' performance in Game 2. They were up, I believe, 3-0, or maybe more than that. And Shields was wild in that game, in that series. It gave up 7 runs at a 12.60 ERA. We're talking about their best pitcher this year, who has probably the most completed games throughout all of the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a terrible day. I think the Rays lost the series after that game. Because if you remember, they blew them out 9-0 in Game 1, the Rays. Mm-hmm. They blew them out 9-0 in Game 1. They were up early in game 2. I think Joyce hit a home run. I'm not sure. Please don't quote me. But I think Joyce hit a home run. And they were up early. Then all of a sudden, went wild, he hit a batter. He hit a batter. He threw a wild pitch. He got him back in the game. I believe they lost 8-6. If Shields pitches his average game, this series is over. And I feel like he opened the door for the Rays to lose that series. And obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of things they're going to have to work out in the offseason. Shields, honestly, they were trying to trade him during the trade deadline, and he's a great pitcher. So there's some pitchers on this team some great players on this team that may not be here. Luckily, mm-hmm. they discovered a new, young, up-and-coming phenom pitcher in Moore, who pitched great in Game 1, shut out the Texas Rangers, and pitched well in relief, actually, in the final game anyway. He gave up a home run to Beltre, 1 of 3, but it was a good game. Do you think that the Rangers can go back to the World Series?
There's a possibility. I think if they face Detroit, they will. But if they play the Yankees, absolutely not.
And let's go right into the Yankees. Yankees right now are playing
great
the Tigers.
Transition, Will.
I mean, it was, Will. I'm not going to lie to you. It was awesome. Yankees are playing the Tigers right now. And they're facing elimination down 2-1. What are your thoughts of this series? And will the Yankees, right now 0-0, will the Yankees take this series back to New York? And also be advised, in this series, it's AJ Burnett's pitching and also Rick Porcello for the Tigers, so yeah. Make sure y'all know that.
That first name you said scares the hell out of me. AJ Burnett, he's been very erratic this season. I have faith that he can at least give us – I'm not going to say faith. I'm hoping he can give us at least 6 strong innings. If he can give us 6 shutout innings, we can win this game.
Let me give you some numbers for AJ Burnett. Against, because he's playing the Tigers. So when I'm not gonna give his season, I can give you his season record and his season ERA. But he's playing the Tigers, so I feel like that's useless. against the Tigers, he's 1-1 with a 3.75 ERA, which is impressive against one team. Yeah. You know, so I see why Girardi decided to play him in this game, and he has faith in him. Porcello, on the other hand, this matchup is kind of the Yankees can score on him, mm-hmm. in my opinion. From what I looked up, I did my research. He's 2-2 against the Yankees with almost near six runs a game, which you know you wouldn't think. You know you wouldn't this guy in a game that makes you want to shut it down, makes the Yankees have no hope to play this guy. I would probably pitch Brad Penny because he's been there before, but that's just me. Mm-hmm. But he went Porcello, and Porcello's giving up. I think his average opponents hit, left-handed opponents hit about 321 against him. When I think of a left-handed opponent on the Yankees lineup, I'm thinking about Robinson Cano. Yeah. And, like, that's the most dangerous left-handed hitter in the game to me right now. And that's definitely in the playoffs, absolutely. Robinson Cano. So it's going to be interesting. I think this game right here is going to be a high-scoring game.
I'm telling you, we tie it up and we take it back to New York.
I don't think you're tying it up, though, just because A.J. Burnett's going to be – is that bad? I think that what helps both pitchers, though, to be honest with you, and this is just, you know, I'm not being biased. I'm not a Yankees fan whatsoever. One of my most hated teams, honestly, the Yankees. But them playing at Tiger Stadium, both pitchers playing at Tiger Stadium, gives them an opportunity to have a low-scoring game. Because in the Yankees ballpark,
it's made for hitters.
It's made for hitting, especially left and right, not center field. Center field is deep. But and the ball carries too, in left center and right center, I believe the ball carries well. So playing in Detroit is going to give them an opportunity to look good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if they look terrible in this game, either pitcher looks terrible in this game, it's because they couldn't flat out pitch, mm-hmm. and that's it. But I have the Tigers win this game. I think momentum is on the Tigers' side.
Nah, I think. We play small ball this game. We got a lot of guys that are gonna get on base, and it's gonna be I think it's gonna be a tight game, a very low scoring game. Where you think it's a high scoring game, I think it's gonna be a low scoring.
Well, right now I'm looking wrong because AJ Burnett. Like he has AJ Burnett. It looks like he has an A game going on.
Like I told
so
you, we only need six and a third.
Well,
six and a third.
Well, that's I think the Yankees need more than six and a third from AJ. To be honest with you. Because his bullpen is, I think they don't want, after what Delman Young did last night to the bullpen, hit that home run to win the game. It ain't like there's that much faith in the bullpen. You hopefully maybe you'll get Phillip Hughes that might pitch in game four. So we'll see. But next, let's jump to the next series. We're on the National League. Phillies just took a commanding 2-1 lead against the Cardinals, if there is a commanding 2-1 lead. Yeah. But I think with the pitching staff of the Phillies, if you can get a 2-1 lead, it's pretty commanding.
Yeah, especially you're right with the arms they have and the bats that they have also. Yeah. I think the series is over. The Cardinals, you did a great thing by another team that a lot of people didn't expect at the beginning of September to get here.
And they did it in a remarkable way. Ben Francisco hit a 3-run home run basically to win the game.
Yeah,
in the seventh. It's awesome. I mean they did their job. If you can't, the Phillies are a very cheating team to me.
I wouldn't say cheating.
I'm going to give you Yankees credit. Yeah. Everybody talks about the Yankees stacking their squad, and they do.
Yeah.
But the Phillies stacked that pitching staff worse than anybody I've ever seen in my life, you know. So, but they are they're performing, they're producing. So I can't hate. But Hamels pitched well. A lot of people were scared about Cole Hamels because he struggled a little bit. But Cole Hamels pitched well, shut him down. He baffled the Cardinals, and that's what happens in postseason. Great pitching, I always say, great pitching in the postseason wins games. If you have a great pitching staff, you're gonna win games. Yeah. But I have a question, For the Phillies, since they did win it, it's still pressure, though. Who has more pressure? You're an Eagles fan. This Phillies team or the Philadelphia Eagles?
If I had to go right now, current, today.
Yeah.
The Phillies, just because of, one, it's the postseason.
That's true.
Two, the amount of money they spent on those arms, the the pitching.
You all spend a lot of money too, though.
Yeah, but you know the pressure.
One and three.
We've only played a quarter of the season, there's still 3/4 of the season to go. But so just because it's postseason, I'll say the Phillies.
You know what? I'm not gonna give my opinion to the situation. I'm gonna let you, because you're an Eagles fan. I'm gonna let you. Your opinion is gonna hold strong.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say. I ain't gonna add anything to it, man. Brewers are playing the Diamondbacks tonight. They're up 2-0, and that is a commanding 2-0 lead. Yeah. That is a dominating 2-0 lead. if you look at the production in this series, you see Prince Fielder had a good game one, and Braun had a great game two. Is this the best tandem 1-2 punch in baseball right now, especially in the postseason?
Yeah, absolutely. Me personally, I actually think that the Brewers are going to represent the NL in the World Series. So,
yeah, I agree with you, Will. I definitely think in terms of the postseason, Braun and Fielder have been the best 1-2 punch in the postseason, and arguably in baseball. In game one, listen to these stats. Fielder had he was 2-for-4, 2 RBIs and a home run. Braun was 3-for-4, scored 2 runs. He was on board for most of Prince Fielder's things. RBIs. Braun in game two was 3-for-4, 3 RBIs, a home run, and 3 scoring runs. Prince Fielder was 1-for-4 in the RBI, and he scored a run. They're the best 1-2 punch right now going.
Yeah.
You have Braun, who was second in baseball in terms of average for batting average. Prince Fielder hit 38 home runs, near 40. You don't get any, and hit 299, basically 300. It's the best 1-2 punch in baseball going. I don't know what the Diamondbacks can do to win this series or even compete.
Nothing.
But I'll say this much. For the Diamondbacks to make this an interesting series, one, Justin Upton has to produce. He played well last game. He had a home run. Chris Young, who had a home run, who was a good center fielder, has to produce. And Aaron Hill, they all need to step up. They definitely need to step up for this series to go even further. If they want to win tonight, these guys have to step up. You know what I mean? So anything you want to add?
No.
You sure?
Positive.
Positive. Not like Matt Johnson positive.
Nah, positive.
Oh, okay, make sure. Well, we know baseball, this postseason in baseball has nothing but intensity. But we know in college football, it's intensity every week. So when we get back, we're going to talk about some great games that occurred last Saturday.
Urban Sports Scene.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
We're back. Kind of tired myself, man. This so-called Lee Mike thing is exhausting. I got to think on the fly. It's like the worst.
Yeah, man.
It's just like,
that's why I'm not doing it.
I know, man. Sick, you know, using that sickness for, like, with this excuse, man. You the man now. Anyway, man. Clemson, over the weekend, beat Virginia Tech. I think we both said Virginia Tech was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell that happened?
I don't know how the hell it happened, but I do know this. Every week, this Clemson team looks better and better and better. It looks like a team that can compete possibly for a national championship.
Yeah, see, that's interesting. I'm thinking, like, I can't vision Clemson as a national champion, a national champion competitor. But you know what? They're like, and I heard this on ESPN, they're like Auburn last year.
Yeah, if they only thing they do is keep winning. And eventually everyone else in front of them is losing games. So if they keep winning, they go undefeated, which is totally possible in the ACC.
Yeah. And it can get to a BCS.
Yeah.
I honestly, we were talking about national championships. Yeah, they got an opportunity. The way they're playing, I mean, definitely have a good opportunity to get to the BCS, like get to a BCS bowl.
Definitely.
I look at the stats. I didn't get to watch the game, I'm not going to lie to you. But I saw the stats. I went online, looked at the stats. Yeah, man. 23-3. VTech only had 258 total yards in Blacksburg. How do you limit that's like the lowest VTech has ever had at home. How do you do that to Virginia Tech, the so-called dominant team in the ACC at home for years, who's been probably the most dominant team in the ACC for a couple of years now?
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. And Clemson, though, I don't know. I have to see more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to see more.
I agree with you. But like you said earlier in the conversation, if Clemson keeps winning, they reminiscent of Auburn last year. No one really expected them to do what they possibly could do. All they got to do is keep winning.
Okay, that's true. And are the Yankees up? No, still 0-0. Sorry, I'm just trying to get shy. Still 0-0. Yankees have first and second with, I want to say, no outs. I don't think it's any outs. But anyway, let's go fast forward. Nebraska played Wisconsin, and they got their asses handed to them. And yes, I can say asses. They got their asses handed to them.
Yeah, we told you, Russell Martin.
Not Russell Martin. Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, excuse me, would be the
Yankees, man.
Yeah. Russell Wilson would be the deciding factor. The guy's a mobile quarterback. He's got a big arm. Nebraska, a lot of people expected this to be a lower scoring game. A lot of real heavy on the run, but Wisconsin just whipped that ass.
That's the truth. This is one thing people got to realize about this Wisconsin team and what Nebraska is. Wisconsin is balanced. All right. That's one thing. They're balanced now with Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Balanced. So, I mean, they got Monty Ball, who ran for 151 yards, had four TDs. You have Russell Wilson threw for 255 yards and two TDs. And he was, like, extending plays in the pocket, running left and right. This team is balanced. Wisconsin's a power running game. Nebraska has never seen a Wisconsin team in the Big 12. Never. This team is a power team. And they're even better now with a quarterback who can actually move the ball, who can actually throw accurately. You know what I mean? And this raises the question, is the Nebraska team a legitimate national champion competitor? I mean, a legitimate national champion contender?
I don't want to jump out there just off of one bad game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, are they a legitimate national championship contender? I'll say no.
You think Wisconsin is?
No. You said
Wisconsin, not Nebraska.
Oh, Wisconsin. Oh, Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is.
Oh, Nebraska's not. To
no,
me.
Nebraska. No.
No, they're
absolutely
not.
No.
What intrigues me about Wisconsin, and maybe I did say I meant Wisconsin. If I did mess up, what intrigues me about Wisconsin is there's no team in college football to me has as much balance as they do. At the moment.
I'll get that to you, yeah.
I think this is the only team, I'll be as bold. This is the only team that I think if they played an SEC team, they can compete with an SEC team out of all the other divisions in college football.
I'll get that to you.
You know, so this Nebraska team is dangerous. Let's see, what other games did we have last week that we talked about?
Alabama and Florida.
Alabama, yeah, there you go.
Like I said, they would do. Alabama dominated Florida. This is a semi-pro team.
Yeah, I know.
To be honest with you.
It really is.
It's a semi-pro team. I don't know what they feed those boys at the University of Alabama, but they, these guys look like grown men playing with, junior college players.
No, you're right.
Yeah, it's a semi-pro team. I think Alabama, until they meet LSU, is pretty much going to run rampant over anyone they face.
Nah, I mean, I agree. Until LSU?
Yeah, until LSU.
Alabama beat the bejesus out of LSU.
Nah, that's just my I just don't see it this year.
Oh, that team, Alabama. You got, like I said, you have Hightower from Alabama. You have Hightower in Alabama on that defense. And they knocked out the quarterback, Brantley, in that game. I mean, if you watch that game, man, it was like comparing apples and oranges.
That was a nasty hit when they knocked
him
out.
Yeah, it's like comparing apples and oranges. Nebraska, and you see Richardson, though?
Yeah, Trent Richardson, that guy.
181? Ooh, that boy is nasty. You know, Imai, he's the modern day Bo. He's a modern day Bo Jackson.
No, he
didn't
catch it.
No, he didn't? Oh, no. My bad. He's a modern day Bo Jackson. Yankees are up 1-0. Up 2-0.
2-0.
Yankees are up 2-0 right now. So Will T is ecstatic right now. But he's the modern day Bo Jackson. Big ups to I think that dude is a monster.
Yeah,
I think he's a
physically,
monster.
Physically,
he's a monster. So, but so we're going to the games that we our next games?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have to look at my notes, man. I got like a whole bunch of notes right now going on right now. Oklahoma versus Texas. We talked about this. The Red River rivalry.
Yep.
What do you think is going down in this game?
I think Texas is going to surprise a lot of people and beat Oklahoma.
Ooh.
I said from the get-go, I think that the Oklahoma team was kind of overrated.
You want to take me to Applebee's this?
Huh?
People at Applebee's be boosted about this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they like my endorsement. I think Texas squeaks out a very close one.
27-24. I like that one. But I'm not agreeing with you. I think Oklahoma prevails in this game.
It wouldn't be a good show if you did.
Hey, man, Landry Jones and Broyles is going to fry Texas. I think Texas is too young right now. You know what I mean? They're too young right now. I don't think it's their time right now. But I could see Texas being good next year, being really good next year. But this year ain't their time right now. I definitely see Oklahoma taking this one.
Is
a Red River rivalry? What do they get when they win? They get like some type of, like Michigan, when they beat certain teams, they get like a hat. When they beat Minnesota, they get some mug or something.
I guess they get barbecue or something.
No, it must be some bomb barbecue.
Yeah.
Auburn versus Arkansas.
Arkansas.
I'm going to go with Auburn. You're going different today, boy. Ray, we do not agree. You say we agree all the time. We do not agree. I'm going with Auburn. Dyer is going to run all over him. If you see what Dyer did a couple weeks ago, Dyer had for 41 carries for 141 yards. I'm going with Auburn. They're gonna feed Dyer. They're gonna feed that beast.
Well, yeah, we're all entitled to our opinion.
I know. Like what you say about opinions?
All like assholes.
Everybody has one.
And they all stink.
Oh, that one. Oh, y'all stink? I thought everybody has one. Oh.
Everyone has one. They all stink.
Ah. Yes, that's disgusting. All right, Florida versus LSU. The show's going the same, man. I'll start it off because I let you start all the time. I'm going to go with, actually, this is upset alert for me, man. I'm going Florida.
You picked Florida last week?
Yeah, but this is going to be upset alert right here because LSU is supposed to win. Okay. I'm going Florida this week. They had the freshman quarterback, Jeff Driscoll, who was actually rated on top rank. I'm not top rank, excuse me. Rated, I said top rank like I'm in boxing. Mm-hmm. Rated on Rivals as the best pro prospect quarterback coming out of high school.
Well,
we got to wrap this thing up. We're taking too long right
now.
Yeah,
we got some place to go.
Yeah, we got things to do. I got to get a drink or two, man. You know, I'm an alcoholic.
All right, man. To listen to the show, just visit www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled Waleo. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene.
And you can listen to us on the Apple G's radio show on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. And also, you can catch us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WCStillerFan.
Also, if you have any questions, comments, you just want to hate, want to complain, make sure you email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
Yeah, we love haters. Please, hate. We've got a lot of appreciators, though.
Yeah,
we love haters, too, though.
Yeah, we do.
We really do love haters, though.
We love your energy.
Because haters mean that you're doing something right.
Exactly.
All right. Peace. We out.
We out.